You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we go straight into that story and that conversation that we were touching on with Nick Kunze around the pronouncements by the government that we are expected to have a blockbuster of a 2025, to say the least, with around 400,000 youth jobs hopefully created in the short to medium term. I'm joined on the line by the chair of a business for South Africa Steering Committee, Martin Kingston, to take a look at this and try and make sense of it. Good evening, Martin. Thanks so much for taking the time. 3% growth rate forecasted or expected by the president with 400,000 youth jobs created. Is that a realistic number or are we being a little over ambitious here?
Well, Jimmy, good evening to you and to your listeners. I have to say we need to put this in context. This was, as you know, at the launch of the second phase of the government and business partnership, which took place yesterday. It was looked back in terms of what had been achieved over the past 12 months, the constraints that we'd had to deal with. And you'll recall that those constraints, which were focused on energy, transport and logistics and crime and corruption, were binding constraints on economic growth. So in the absence of load shedding, if we have a transport and logistics system that is working properly and we start to make real inroads into addressing crime and corruption, and in particular there, getting off the FATF grey list, which has really very meaningful implications for the credit rating, for the cost of capital, we think that the aspiration to get to 3.3% by the end of 2025 is achievable, but it's predicated, as I said, on maintaining the level of progress that we've already seen with respect to those three focal areas. By the way, in the case of energy, we're actually now past the 6 month, not the 3 month, the 6 month mark in terms of no load shedding. We've seen some improvement, but inadequate improvement in the performance of transport and logistics. And we've set up the structures to be able to ensure that we can make really a very good attempt to get off the grey listing process in the course of 2025. It's only when we've achieved all of those three ambitions and everything else is continuing to point in the same direction, coupled with, I have to say, continuing commitments to an implementation of structural reform by the government and operational improvements, which the private sector can certainly assist in those three areas, that we'll see that sort of level of inclusive growth being achieved. And that's what, of course, in part gives rise to the broader aspiration with respect to jobs. I have to say, with regard to the youth, that's rather more specific, which is that what we're doing is we're working with government on leveraging existing partnerships for employment. I can elaborate upon them if you like. And that, we think, could give rise, if we unlock bottlenecks, to approximately 400,000 work opportunities for youth. That's by the end of 2026.
Martin, you've touched on a couple of things here, and I want to unpack some of them, starting with the conditional aspects of us achieving those targets. I mean, 3.3% is a very doable target, I believe, by the strength of the South African economy. But again, as you alluded to this quite importantly, a lot of it rests on other things that in the past South Africa and the government have proven that they haven't been able to get right. We finally got Eskom right, which we will take that as a win, but we've had some serious issues with transport and logistics in the form of Transnet and policy and all the other things that you've alluded to. How can we be sure at this point, whether it's for South Africans or even for international investors, how can we be sure that we're going to get it right this time around?
Well, I think that the last 12 months is actually very telling, Jimmy. The reality is that during that 12-month period, we saw real progress in the establishment of the National Energy Crisis Committee to implement the Energy Action Plan, some 10 work streams in which business is involved in some 8 of them, the establishment of the National Logistics Crisis Committee, again, a number of work streams where business is involved in some 70% of them, and the Joint Initiative on Crime and Corruption. We needed to have those three government platforms established, properly capacitated, suitable terms of reference in place, and appropriate resources both from government and from business to be able to ensure that we could start to properly implement critical interventions that were necessary, underpinned, as I said, by structural reform. Now, each of those three platforms are in place. We established the Resource Mobilization Fund on the part of business at the request of government and the presidency over a year ago. We've raised now some 250 million rand to be able to procure specialist skills and expertise which we're donating to the presidency. Many of those skills are already in place, and we've seen some of the results eventuating from them. We've had some 350 subject matter experts that have been occupied and working in all of those three work streams, 57-odd companies that have been contributing to interventions in power stations. So in all of these areas, I could elaborate further, we've seen real traction start to emerge. There's a question of actually maintaining and building on that. I also mentioned, Jimmy, you'll recall, structural reform. That market reform needs to be accelerated in phase two, certainly for energy. We need to be able to ensure that the power stations continue to have an energy availability factor above 64%. We need to boost the level of private sector investment. We already saw a significant number of gigawatts coming on stream during the last 12 months, fueled by the private sector. We need to be able to roll out the transmission network, maybe 1,000 kilometers of new lines over the next 12 months. All of that is required if we're going to maintain and sustain the level of confidence that we've got, predictable, reliable, and I have to say competitive inputs for infrastructure, in that case in energy. When you talk about transport and logistics, of course, it's even more important because there Transnet has been struggling, as we well know. It's got a projected baseline of 170 million tonnes per annum. We think that needs to be increased to at least 193 million over the next 12 months. We need to unlock some 28 billion rands worth of investment in rail infrastructure. And again, we need to implement structural reform in terms of expediting the final network statement and appropriate pricing schedules or tariffs for private sector investment, let alone the separation of certain aspects of Transnet into an infrastructure manager and the Transport Economic Regulator Board. Now, it sort of trips off the tongue, but the reality is that seeing will be believing. I think what we've seen over the past 12 months has been real and discernible, tangible progress, which has fundamentally moved the needle and improved confidence levels. And then the last area, as I mentioned, and again, I can go into this in detail if you like, is what we're going to do in the context of crime and corruption, but where our primary focus, as I said, is removing South Africa from the grey list in the course of 2025. Now, we're not expecting anybody to take it for granted that those targets are going to be achieved, but certainly based upon what we've seen in the past 12 months and by redoubling our effort and by leveraging the resources both of government and of the private sector, I think that we've got a fighting chance to get there by the end of next year.
A fighting chance certainly sounds interesting, Martin, but I'm sure you can appreciate that from a South African point of view, there might be a little bit of skepticism given that in the past we've been told these things from government, that this is where things are headed and this is how things are going to be achieved, and a lot of the times that has fallen short. That being said, we will take the victories that have come over the last 12 months, and my parting thought or parting question to you then becomes, how do we ensure that we maintain the momentum? Because you've alluded to a lot of things that sound exceptionally expensive to roll out and that are going to require a lot of capital investment. How do we maintain attractiveness from a capital investment point of view and ensure that we don't lose this absolutely critical momentum?
Yeah, that's the key question, of course. You're absolutely right, Jimmy. And I have to say that there are some 3 points I'd make in response to that. The first is that structural reform basically unlocks the opportunity for private sector investment in an appropriately regulated manner. The second is we've got over 140 CEOs who've signed up to this process. And lastly, we've got a number of CEOs who are personally driving these individual interventions.
So it looks like there is a very concerted effort towards getting this done, which is a very lovely to see and very promising to see, especially if you look back at the history of the country. Hopefully, as Martin has alluded to, that the rubber does hit the road. The proof will be in the pudding, but we are here, and anybody that is looking to assist will probably be able to reach out to Business for South Africa and all the other players that are involved here. Martin, thanks so much for the time. Thank you for the insights and for giving us a bit more hope to be optimistic going into 2025. It's Martin Kingston, Chair of the Business for South Africa's Steering Committee, joining me to reflect on some of the pronouncements by government and the private sector in an effort to move SA forward.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.